Thank you, Steve. It's a real privilege for Ellie and I to be here. Feel like we're with friends, some that we haven't seen for a while, and then some of you whom we hope that by the end of the week will know you and be friends and go away a little different than when we have come. I couldn't help but think when we were singing those songs of my dad, sometimes when we were together as a family, I would see him with tears in his eyes. And here's what he would say to us. He would say, "Children, you need to know something. The reason for the blessings that we experience as a family is simply the grace of God." And as I've learned to know a little bit the history of my family, I can really testify that it was God's grace that got my dad turned around and on the right track as a young married man and made a tremendous difference in my life, and I'm grateful for that today. So whenever we sing about the grace of God, I'm reminded of the reality of what that grace means for each of us. And I trust you'll pray through this week that the Lord will direct and give wisdom as we attempt to serve the Lord and to be your servants. And I love people, I'll just tell you that, and certainly would welcome if there are those of you who would like to talk along the way. I want to be open to that. Last couple of weeks, we just returned from Thailand a week ago. And over again, we would hear this, "Do you have your ticket?" or "Where's your passport?" Make sure you have your passport. Well, I have a question for you tonight. Do you have your ticket? Do you have your passport? And is that all it is? Is it simply a piece of paper? Is it simply a baptismal certificate for you? Is it simply to be a church member? To have your name on the church roll? Or to have your picture in the directory? The Apostle Paul had a different understanding. Romans 1:16, which is going to be a theme of our time together this week, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Ken Sandy makes this suggestion that many of us as Christians tend to look at our Christianity as a ticket to heaven, as an escape from hell, as something you stick in your back pocket or in your purse. And then when we get to the pearly gates, we're going to turn that ticket in and it will give us entrance into heaven. What we often fail to realize is that the gospel is something that needs to be lived out every day of our lives. And I hope this next couple of nights to talk about how the gospel impacts our lives. Tonight we want to talk about the gospel in you. And if you turn to Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, tremendous promise. But we want to also look at how does the gospel impact your circumstances? How does it impact temptation? How does it impact relationships? Throughout these next several nights, we hope to address a number of those things. And so I would say tonight that the gospel is good news. And I think so often we can take for granted in our personal walk with the Lord the tremendous good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, the human dilemma is the same. Are you listening to me? The human dilemma is the same no matter how you dress it up. And if you've lived any length of time at all, you realize that we live in a broken world. You also realize that as persons, we ourselves are broken. And you realize that we need Jesus and the world needs Jesus. And so the gospel is indeed good news that can tremendously affect our lives. And I would say that the gospel is something that needs to be lived out every day in all the circumstances of life. You really can't live the Christian life without the good news of the gospel. And I would say the deepest yearnings of a person's heart, the deepest desires, the deepest intentions that you have tonight will never be fulfilled without the power of the gospel. How many of you have promised yourself that tomorrow will be different? How many of you have made commitments to the point that you said, well, when I'm 25, I will have gotten over this struggle? Certainly by the time I'm 50. And we make these promises and these commitments to ourselves because we really do have desires down deep in our heart. But I would ask us, are you simply tired of your promises to do better? Are you frustrated with the lack of spiritual growth and progress in your life? Are you fed up with giving in to temptation? Are you weary with the relational tensions that seem to always interfere with life? Are you disillusioned with living in a garden full of weeds? Well, then for a few days, let's welcome with all of our hearts the good news of the gospel. Elmer Jancy told me this one time. He said, Dave, and before I share that, I'll share another picture that just comes to my mind right now related to the desires of our hearts. If you have a pet dog and you have a juicy piece of meat, and that dog comes up to you, and you hold out this meat, but as quick as the dog goes to get it, you jerk it away. You jerk it away. Every time the dog thinks it's going to get this juicy piece of meat, you simply are jerking it away. After a while, the dog despairs of ever being able to achieve or to have the juicy piece of meat. I think that describes many Christians who long for freedom and victory in their life, and yet it just seems like every time they get close, somehow it's pulled away from them and they don't experience. Elmer Jancy told me this. He said, Dave, as a young man, he said, when I realized what my parents expected out of me, he said, when I realized what the church expected out of me, and he said, most of all, when I realized what I expected out of myself, he said, I opted for free grace. I don't know what that says to you tonight, but I'll just tell you something. I don't care who you are, but you cannot live life in a fulfilling way without Jesus Christ being the center and the focus of your life. And I am here to tell you that Jesus provides for us the power, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because he says it is the power of God unto salvation. How many of you remember when you gave your heart to the Lord? How many of you remember how it felt? I remember going out of that church that night and looking up and seeing the moon, and I had this feeling, you know what? I could jump right over the moon. The tremendous freedom and joy that came to my heart in accepting Jesus Christ as my Savior and my Lord. So, verse 6, Paul says this. I love this verse. Philippians 1, verse 6, he says, being confident of this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you will leave you sit. Is that what it says? It's like Walter Beachy told me one time when Ellie and I were struggling in our relationship. He said, Dave, he said, do you think God brought you this far to leave you sit? You know, I've never forgotten that phrase. No, he says, being confident that he which hath begun a good work in you will complete it or perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. How could Paul say that? How could he say that? What does he know that I don't know? One would suppose that when Paul made that statement, he must have been on a high. House was all paid for. A new car in the garage. Relationships were warm and fuzzy. Family was all doing well. There was the absence of pain and suffering. It's easy to say, God will complete the work he's begun in me. When everything is cozy and everything is going well. But I'll tell you, it's a different story. It's a different story when everything's upside down in a person's life. The reality was that Paul was not on some kind of a high when he wrote this and shared this. He was actually in prison. He was shut away from the people he loved. He was condemned for crimes that he had not committed. This was not some pie-in-the-sky statement that God, who has begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. This is a promise that God, who loves us and cares so much for us that he gave his only begotten Son for you and I, has started a work in you. You know what it's like to pray, and it feels like you're praying to a brick wall? You know what it's like to have your prayers bounce off and you wonder, does God care? Does God really hear? Let me just encourage you tonight. Don't quit praying. Yes, God hears. God, who's begun a work in you, is going to complete that till the day of Jesus Christ. What are you facing? Just stop and reflect a bit. What are you facing right now in your journey of faith? What are the temptations that you're struggling with? What are the circumstances that you may be wrestling with tonight? What are the conflicts in your life that are pulling you into pieces? What basis of confidence do you have that this scripture is true? I want to begin reading at verse 3. Paul says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. I love that word gospel. Being confident. And listen, folks, if you don't get anything else, God has started to work in your hearts and lives. And let me just tell you, God is faithful and can be trusted to complete the work that He's begun in your life, despite the circumstances. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are partakers. Don't you like that word? You like to be included at mealtime? You like to partake? Ye are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. This I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense. That's hard to imagine. Sincere and without offense until the day of Christ. So how well is the gospel, the good news, the power of God working in you, working in me? What basis do we have for confidence this evening? Living in a fallen world is not easy. Living with a human dilemma is even worse. Seeing through a glass darkly can be confusing. And living in the part can be and often is frustrating. But can you realize this evening that into this very kind of situation, and this is what blesses me, that's where the gospel comes to you. In fact, more, I don't know how to describe what I feel, but more of the gospel, more of life is lived out in the context of pain and suffering, with things not being the way they should be. In those situations, the gospel becomes extremely precious and makes a huge difference in a person's life, in how he responds. It's described as a good work. It's a good work in you. And it's a work of divine grace. And it comes with the promise of completion, of wholeness, of things fitting together, of missing pieces being found. Yesterday, today, tomorrow, next week, next year. With all these circumstances that today are unknown, with all the temptations that today are unseen, with all the trials that today are not experienced, beyond all that, the gospel's influence will make your life complete for the day of Jesus Christ. Isn't that a tremendous promise? There are three things that I see in this gospel in you. The first one is this: the work of a growing love. You find this in verse 9. Paul says, I pray that your love may abound more and more. Do you struggle? No, of course you don't. Do you struggle with loving certain people? Do you struggle with the actions of certain people? You ever find yourself standing on the other side? I know what it's like to walk back the one side of the church so that I can avoid meeting someone on the other side. Do you know what it feels like to distance yourselves from certain people? I remember I was in a Sunday school class in South Carolina. It was just a normal Sunday school class at my daughter's church. In the Sunday school class, the question was asked, have you really forgiven? If you're not willing to be hurt again. And the Lord hit me right between the eyes because I had been through a tough situation in our church. And I would have said I had forgiven. But trust me, I wasn't making much effort to be in communication with this brother. And that morning, the Lord spoke to my heart, and I realized that I needed to change the way I approached that relationship. Have you really forgiven if you're not willing to be hurt again? You know how we are. You can do it once to me. I might let you do it twice, but you won't do it three times. Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. I'm glad you guys got it all together. Paul talks about a work of the gospel in us. And see, if the gospel is in your back pocket, and I'm amazed how that in conflict, so often we forget to be Christian. I sometimes have said to people, when you get finished putting that brother in his place, or that sister in her place, can you get up and go up to them and put your arm around them and say, I love you, brother? Sometimes we forget. In the midst of conflict, the tremendous need to demonstrate love. I was a 15-year-old in a members' meeting that forever changed my response to people. It helped me decide how I would never... By the way, you know something? People are created in God's image. They belong to God. They're God's property. You better be careful how you treat God's property. Every person deserves dignity, respect, and honor. And I can't tell you the number of people that have been lost to the church because of what someone said or someone did or of an action that brought deep hurt into the life of a person. So as a young man, I made some decisions about how I would not treat people. A growing love. Paul says, I pray that your love, this gospel that comes into us, this gospel that's going to bring completion in your life, is a gospel that has an ever-increasing love. Good way to measure whether the gospel is working in your life is whether or not you're having a growing work of love towards people and towards God. Paul says, I pray that your love may abound more and more. See, the good news of the gospel, people said, Ellie will say, she says, I should finish my sentences. But anyway, the good news of the gospel, sometimes people say to me, I'll get there, they say, Dave, what if I don't love them? And I ask this question, how would you treat them if you really did love them? And then I have a simple suggestion, go and do that. See, you can't love them, but Christ can love them through you. It's an ever-growing kind of love. Undeserved? Yes. Difficult? Yes. Costly? Yes. But he, Jesus, who has begun a good work in you, completes that work through a growing love that is actively reaching out to your brothers and sisters and even your enemies. I'll tell you, I was sitting at Faith Builders in Congregational Life. John Koblenz was speaking, and you know, as Anabaptist people, we have declared and talked about how that we are peace people, how we love each other. We will not fight. We will not go to war. But one thing John Koblenz, and he said it with a lot of feeling, and I just agreed with him. He said, I don't know what to do with all the splits and splinters that have been a part of our heritage. And what I feel bad about some of that is the feelings and the hurts and the betrayals that so many of our people struggle with because of those divisions that happen within the body of Christ. The work completed in you will have a growing love for God and for His people. What a tremendous blessing the gospel is. Second thing, there's the work of a growing discernment. I'd like to ask you a question. What guides your life? Robert's Rule Book of Order? The rules of your family? You say, well, Mom and Dad make me do it. It's not the worst thing in the world that Mom and Dad make you do it. But is that what guides your life? Or is it the church guidelines that guide your life? Paul says, I pray that you have a discernment. I love that word. Maybe it's your peers that guide your life. Young people really care about what their friends think, right? Well, we live in an age where people's feet are firmly planted in midair, where evil is called good, where good is called evil, where the boundaries have been moving. Of what are you giving your approval and blessing? And I would just say to us tonight, there's a limit. Are you listening to me? There's a limit to how much parents can protect you. There is a limit as to how much your church can protect you. The good work in you will provide a growing discernment of those things that are excellent, those things that are pure, those things that will prepare you for the day of Christ. I had a friend, a young fellow, told me, he said, Dave, I really wanted to be a witness to them. And he ended up doing the same things they did. Alcohol and immorality. But his goal was to be a witness to his friends. What guides and directs your ethics and your life? Living on the edge of one's liberty is not enough. Doing just enough to get by won't cut it. Feeding on ashes will not produce what you're looking for. How many of you know what it is to feed on ashes? I can raise my hand to that. Feeding on things that really do not profit. By the way, our world gives us plenty of opportunity to feed on a lot of ashes, things that tear us down spiritually and do not build us up. We need to set boundaries in our hearts if we're going to be able to have the discernment that God wants us to have. I love this verse. 1 Corinthians 2:15 says this, the spiritual man judges all things, yet he himself is judged by no man. Reminds me of the time friends of ours and us went to SeaWorld. That was actually here in Ohio. Years ago, we had young children, we get into SeaWorld, we had never been to SeaWorld before, it was a wonderful experience, but we're in this, it was a ski show, very innocent, I say that. I remember how that when the guy got up front, the first thing he said, how many of you are glad to be here, and there wasn't much response, and then he said, how many of you are ready to rock and roll? and the place just erupted. And then this theme was a beach scene, and it didn't take me long to realize that the plot of this was not moral at all. But we're there watching it just like everyone else, and my wife was the first one with our little child to get up and walk out. Now, she didn't have Robert's Rule Book of Order, page 65, item number 10, to tell her that when you're in this situation, this is, you understand what I'm saying? The person who's spiritual, the Holy Spirit will direct your steps in given situations to let you know this is not for you. Hate to admit this, Steve, but after I was a pastor, I love sports. Growing up, it was basketball. You can't imagine why. Went to Canada, and then it was hockey. And my dad didn't really care for us listening to baseball growing up, but I started of a night after Ellie went to bed, or when she was ready to go to bed, I'd find myself out by the stereo, and I'd have my headphones on, and I'd be listening to this game, that game, another game. You know what? Let me just say, I'm not saying that was wrong. Don't judge this prematurely. But God was speaking to my heart and saying, Dave, is this really what you should be doing? And I resisted it. Kept resisting it. And I'd go back for more. Until Super Bowl Sunday, of all the blessings in the world, it snowed in Delaware on Super Bowl Sunday. Can you imagine? And Ellie had this idea of having a good family time. And I'm like, yeah, family time. But my mind's thinking Super Bowl. So we're together Sunday night as a family, and we're trying to do things, but I'm going over to the stereo, and I'm putting on my headphones, and I'm catching this and catching that and catching the other thing, until my oldest son, I forget how old he was, he looked at me and he said, Dad, what are you doing? And that's what it took for the Lord to finally get through to me. And I'm not saying that sports are wrong, but I am saying this, that you don't need Robert's Rule Book of Orders to tell you when something is detrimental to your spiritual life. The Holy Spirit is faithful. If you're a child of God, He will put that nudging in you to say, you know what? Do you really want to go this way? Is this what you really want for your life? Is this the path that's going to bring blessing and a legacy of faithfulness? Somewhere along the line, people have to make a decision about boundaries that they're going to set in their heart and life if you're going to be faithful. A growing discernment. The Apostle Paul says, you're going to have a growing love, but you're also going to have a growing discernment, the things that are excellent, the things that will bring blessing into your life, and the things that will bring otherwise. The last area, the work of a growing righteousness. You guys know what the challenge is of living right. One person said it this way, and I can identify, maybe I'm too carnal, but he said, my flesh just crawls to sin. Do you know the pool? You know what? One of the things I look forward to in heaven, beyond seeing Jesus face to face, is to be at a place where there will be no more temptation to sin. Do you know what it's like to feel the pool of the flesh and the pool of sin? How does a person come to a place of a growing righteousness. Now, trust me, when you accepted Christ, guess what? Christ dresses you with a robe of righteousness. And you're totally justified. And you're totally sanctified at that moment. But you and I both know that the process of righteousness in our daily living is something that we have a tremendous choice about what we do with those things. We really do. So the gospel in you enables us to say no to sin. I was talking to my dad one time about struggles with temptation and giving in to sin, and he looked at me and he said, "Dave, just say no." And I was like, "Oh, if you knew how much I want to say no." I suppose if I would ask you tonight, every one of us here would say, I don't want to do that. But there's something in us that pulls us in a direction that we really don't want to go. The gospel enables us to live in purity and to produce the fruits of righteousness on a daily basis. But I can tell you, you won't experience this without the power of God, the power of the gospel working in you. The gospel, the good news, not a ticket to put in your pocket, but something to be lived out every day of your life. Let me encourage you with this promise. God hasn't brought you this far to let you go. He has promised to complete the work in you until the day of Christ. The question for us this evening is, will we let him do it? Will we cooperate with his plan in our lives? Let's stand together. You've listened very well. May the Lord continue to direct as we seek his direction for the different evenings. And I just want to ask you to pray that God would speak to our hearts. I hope you've been encouraged tonight. If there's anyone here, and I know what it's like, if there's anyone here that's feeling like throwing in the towel and calling it quits, I just want to challenge you and encourage you. You can trust God with your life. You can trust him with your circumstances. You can trust him with the temptations. You can trust him to complete the work that he's begun in you. The gospel in you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the tremendous blessing of the good news. Father, we live in a broken world. There's so much pain and heartache, situations which are hard to explain. We thank you that Jesus came and that in coming, he does a work in each of our hearts. And I pray for your people tonight, whatever the circumstance or situation, I pray that you would give grace for that. I pray that you would give courage to move forward in the power and the strength of the gospel. And I pray that you would challenge each one of us to live out the gospel in our daily lives, And we'll give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.